everybody. What's going on? Welcome back to the Midnight Terrors podcast. Happy New Year again from all of us here at MTP. My name is Kevin, and I'm here with Roy R. Jacob Honeybrook for our weekly movie discussion episode. Roy, what's up, dude?
What's going on, Kevin? I love our weekly horror discussion episodes. I am digging myself out of Ohio right now. We got about 4 to 6 inches of snow overnight, so that was enjoyable to wake up to.
Now
Winter is here.
see, I would really like it if you had an acoustic guitar right now sitting up on stage with one spotlight and just introducing that this is Digging Out of Ohio.
Digging out of Ohio. Here all
Listen,
week.
man, I just saw the Bob Dylan movie twice, so I'm in I need that
Oh,
singer-songwriter stuff.
nice. How was it?
It's so fucking good, dude. I loved
Man.
it.
It's crazy about Bob Dylan. He really changed the game as far as music and specifically rock music and coming out of that folk metal or folk metal, coming out of that folk scene, transitioning into rock and roll, playing the electric guitar at that festival. He was so influential. We actually, in our communications classes in college, one of them, we focused on Bob Dylan and his impact on music. It was such a monumental thing. And when was he around, like the 60s when he did that stuff?
Yeah, his first album was like 1961 or 62 or something like that.
Man.
And I really didn't know much about Bob Dylan before the movie. But the movie's got me going down the rabbit hole of like doing research and listening to his albums. Phenomenal songwriter. And it's one of those instances where like when I sit back and think about it, he doesn't have like the strongest voice, you know, in the music in music. But he also doesn't need it, like, because his songs are just so moving the way they are. It's like when people talk about I don't know, Nirvana, and like Kurt Cobain's not gonna win American Idol, but he writes great songs. And it's kind of how I feel about Bob Dylan, and I'm really enjoying hearing about his story. And I've seen the movie A Complete Unknown twice and listened to interviews from characters that popped up in the movie. So it's a good fun rabbit hole I've been going down with Bob Dylan. So
It's cool, and I feel like his voice, it fit the music he was going for. It was more like a kind of a feel or a mood to it than it was, this is gonna be the next great pop song. And fun fact, my boxing coach was actually a huge Bob Dylan fan, so we'd be driving to these fights ready to rip someone's head off with, "Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man."
well,
Like, boy, what a
the
dichotomy here.
times they are a
Do put out
changing.
some great songs. Like, I'll hear a
Yeah,
Bob
it's good
Dylan
stuff,
song every
man.
now and then. Like, yeah, this shit slaps for real.
Hell yeah, man. But anyway, huge tangent. But we are back with a brand new episode. We're getting back to our weekly, not always movie picks. That's not correct because we talk about other stuff. But a lot of times we're talking about movies and, we're back to you and I picking some movies for the next few episodes, and I'm starting us off here with probably not a super conventional one because I picked The Ruins from 2008. Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, and this is good because I'm all out of movies to pick.
You've gotten to
I've picked
that
them all.
point where you got to Google like horror movies.
Nah, there's still a bunch I have to go through. I just needed to think about them. That's the thing. Whenever it comes time for me to pick, I have all this stuff floating around in my head that would make great discussions. And then it's like, all right, Roy, it's your week to pick. And I'm just like, oh, fuck, I don't know.
Well, this one I owe the credit to my favorite podcast, Horror Movie Night, because I was re-listening to old episodes of their show, and way down on episode 14, back in like 2015, they did an episode on The Ruins. Now I had heard of The Ruins before, but I'd never watched it, and then I listened to their episode and I bought it on Blu-ray because I'm like, they didn't like it very much, but this sounded pretty cool, so I bought it. And I've watched it quite a few times since buying it in like 2018. So I just got to thinking, re-listening to the episode, I was like, oh, we haven't covered that yet. That'd be a fun one. And I feel like there's a good bit to talk about here because it's kind of a forgotten movie in my eyes. But yeah, what's your history with this one? Were you familiar with this at all before I picked it?
I was, and I hadn't seen it before, not that I know of. But I don't know. It would keep popping up on stuff I would see about horror movies. I can't remember if it was like disturbing horror movies or maybe like underrated ones, but I've definitely heard of The Ruins. I expected it to be something different. While it does remind me of The Descent, I expected more monsters, things like that, attacking people, not carnivorous vines. But no, I wasn't from well, I wasn't familiar, very familiar with this one, but it's one of those ones that is floating out there in the horror world. And it might have been the book too it's based on, because being a horror author, I'm out in that atmosphere of things, so I'm sure that's popped up time to time when I've been researching stuff.
Yeah, and I mentioned that this came out in 2008, and you said you had heard about it. And I said that the movie's been kind of forgotten. I feel like a lot of it is this style. Like this is very much a product of the mid to late 2000s horror. Kind of a generic title, mixed in with a lot of other, like, let's go on a trip and something bad happens. Because you think about like The Descent or The Hills Have Eyes, or The
Frozen.
Ruins, Frozen.
Green Inferno.
Oh, not the Disney Frozen, the other one.
Yeah, the one you and ZC
I
Kroll did.
was like, okay, are you just making a Disney joke now?
No,
And then
I was thinking about those different ones as I was watching this, and it made it stand out that the movie's big around this time. A lot of that subgenre of horror was, it's funny to say, survival horror, because it is people somewhere away from their home trying to survive, but then there's this horror element to it as well. So you think of survival horror, you think like the video game genre, Resident Evil, Silent Hill, but in this, it's actually people trying to survive. Hey, we only have this much water, we're gonna need to ration it off. Hey, this guy's hurt, how are we gonna help him? On top of that, there's something trying to kill us.
So you said Frozen. What was the last one you mentioned?
Green Inferno, this one really reminded me of that.
I have not seen that one. That's Eli Roth, right?
I believe it is, yeah.
Okay, I have not seen that one, but I definitely know of it.
It's pretty wild.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in the 2000s decade with horror. Like it's kind of a hard decade to pin down what was really like popular. Because you think about like
Yeah.
the 80s and it's like slashers, the 90s is the meta cheesy horror, the 2010s is the ghost stories, and then later the elevated horror. 20 or excuse me, the 2000s is like remakes, zombies, disaster ones, like it's all over the
Torture
place.
porn. That was huge.
All over the place.
I tried to watch one of the torture porn movies. I think it was Wolf Creek. And it
Is
was
that a
just.
Torture porn movie? I've never seen that one.
I don't think I watched that one the whole way through because I don't know.
Most of
I was just so over just generic stuff by that point. It came off. I think it's Wolf Creek. I hope I'm not trashing the wrong movie, but whatever I saw, it just came off so generic. And I'd wanted to see it for a while.
Hold on, I wanna see what I know that that's an actual title, but I don't know what it is. Wolf Creek 2005. Really, not any actors that I'm familiar with in here.
I may have also seen Wolf Creek too. Maybe that's one I'm thinking of.
Australian horror film. Plot concerns three backpackers who find themselves taken captive and subsequently hunted by Mick Taylor, a serial killer in the Australian outback.
Yes, and I didn't get through that one.
This is based on real life murders, apparently.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, no, but that sounds very 2005 horror. But yeah, I feel like The Ruins is kind of a forgotten one, which is unfortunate because I think it's got a lot to offer, at least in my opinion. Now, before we dive into, did you have production notes for this one?
I do.
Okay, so before we dive into that. Just on an overall general take, what'd you think of the ruins?
I thought it was fine. I would give it like a 6 to a 6.5 out of 10. It wasn't overly blown away by it. Like you said, it was very much one of those almost forgettable mid-2000s movies. It was I mean, I didn't hate it. It's quick. It's like an hour and a half at most. So, I mean, overall, yeah, it wasn't bad, but it was nothing that blew me away.
That's fair. Yeah, it's not like a mind-boggling movie. It's not something that's going to sit with you. It's just a fun one.
Yeah, it's that's what I was thinking as I was taking notes and trying to figure out what I was going to discuss. I'm like, this movie's pretty straightforward.
And you are not kidding. It is like 90 minutes on the dot, and it is done once it's done. Like, so that's
Well, I want to ask
awesome.
you this. Was there something about what Horror Movie Night said that stuck with you that you wanted to check this one out?
Well,
Or revisit it?
I mean, to be honest, when I first started listening to Horror Movie Night, my goal was to just like watch as many of the movies they talked about as they could, or as I could, because they were. Horror Movie Night, I've said many times, but they're the biggest influence on what we do here on MTP for me. They're like their podcast is a huge reason why this is here. So, I really just started with a goal of like I posted it in their Facebook group where the co-hosts are, and I was like, I'm trying to watch every movie you guys discuss. That became very difficult because now they're like at 500 episodes.
Good Lord, that's a lot of horror movies to
So that
watch.
did not happen, but I just kind of bought a round of movies that I had seen them cover on the show because some of them are really hard to find. But I don't know, the Ruins just they really hated it when they talked about it. So but I was like, oh, this is kind of a because they were talking about like a lot of stuff from like the 80s for a while there. So I was like, oh, this is like kind of a more modern one. But they had some praises for it here and there. So I was like, oh, I'll just check it out, like not really knowing much about it. And even with the whole movie, like, you know, spoiled in the episode because it was an older movie at the time, it just, I don't know. This one was just like, oh, I'll just buy that because it's cheap and I'll check it out. And I just ended up enjoying it and have revisited it quite a bit.
Yeah, it's funny how that works. It's almost like, you hear these people talk about it who don't like it. And you think it might just be like this goofy movie. And you just
Yeah.
want to see what it's all about at that point.
Yeah, I think I've watched this probably 4 or 5 times now in like 7 years.
It's a lot of ruin watching. A
Yeah.
lot of ruin watching. Okay.
I mean, again, it's a movie that you can kind of just put on and like maybe you pay attention to it, maybe you don't. But I don't know. I get some enjoyment out of this one, so.
I'll tell you what, I thought I'd figured out a deeper plot halfway through, but it wasn't the case. Nope, it was just all laid out for it.
Yep, pretty straightforward. So, what can you tell us about this straightforward movie as far as production goes? You mentioned it was based off a book, which, side note, before you dive into your notes, I was going to try to read the book before the episode, but this one came up fast and the book is like 437 pages.
Come
So,
on, get to reading.
I read a couple chapters. I am still going to read it. So, I'll probably tune back in with another episode as like a follow-up. Hey, I finished The Ruins. And so far, the couple of chapters I've read is pretty straightforward and actually very close to what's on screen. So,
Well, you'll be happy to know the author of the book, Scott Smith, wrote the screenplay, so that's why it's quite closely related.
okay, that makes a lot of sense because I'm like the first two chapters, I'm like, okay, the only difference is that they've been hanging out with Matthias a little bit longer.
Less than 5 minutes, and all right, let's go to these ruins,
Yeah.
guy I just met.
Yeah, they've been hanging out with him for like a week by the time the book gets going. And the Greeks are a little bit more involved.
Greeks. That is funny. They just refer to them as the
Yeah, they
Greeks.
don't have names. They're just like we hang out with the Greeks.
I was looking at that on like the different summaries and reviews, and they're just always the Greeks.
Yeah, and I think also when they almost like flip it where, because at the beginning there's that whole thing where Amy, Jenna Malone's character in the movie, almost like sleeps with Matthias when she's drunk. In the book, I believe it's Stacy that does that, and it's also not with Matthias, it's with a Greek.
One of the
So,
Greeks. God damn it.
yeah, a slight change, you know, here and there, but.
Yeah, the whole one of the things I watched went into every detail that was different, and I'm just like, I don't have time for this. Nor have I read the book, so it wouldn't really mean much to me. But it is a book I want to check out. I mean, this guy has only written two books, and they've both blown up, so it's got to be something to his fiction writing.
Yeah. So let me I'm also looking to make sure I got it right as far as the book goes, but let me ask you this real quick. How do you feel about like the transition from story writing to screenplay writing. Do you think that's a fairly natural thing to do? Like something that'd be kind of easy to do if you're already a writer?
I think in the concept it would be easy because you're already telling a story. You're just telling it in one format, a novel versus a different format, a screenplay. So the bones of it are still the same. Where I think it would be difficult would be to get that formatting down. Being a horror novel fiction guy, it would be hard for me to step into the screenplay world and figure out how to translate everything I have in this book and get it into a screenplay. You know what I mean? Because the formatting's different, the paragraphs are different. You have to write dialogue totally different.
Gotcha. Yeah, it is Stacy in the book. I found that while you were talking.
Stacy's mom. Well, I'm glad you're paying attention to me and not looking shit up.
I was listening, multitasking. But no, that's just something I've thought about before because I know Stephen King, for example, like with a lot of the film adaptations of his work, often is like, hey, here's a draft for the screenplay.
Where I think it would be fun is to kind of like what Scott Smith did here, change it up a little bit and try to tell a wow, closely related story. Switch it up, tell it a little bit different, experiment in a different way. Because like some of the greatest movies come from books and they're totally doing their own thing. Like we always talk about The Shining. Huge movie. In the book are two separate identities. American Psycho, same deal. Two separate identities. So I'd like to try for something like that instead of a shot for shot retelling of the book because that story's already out there.
Yeah, sometimes it's like, either or could happen. You could get the I just want to see what's on the page, visualize, or you want like almost like a like I view like I've never read the book The Shining, but I view like Stanley Kubrick's The Shining as like a companion piece to that book because they're a little bit different.
That's a good way to look at it, because I have read The Shining. It's one of three Stephen King books I have read.
But yeah, so what else we got production-wise for the ruins?
I was drawing a blank. I was trying to think if there was anything else to say about screenplay versus
Well,
writing play. Writing play.
I mean,
No.
that's something we can do on another episode is like
Yeah.
book to film adaptations.
Yeah, I think that's mainly what I wanted to say, is just it would be fun to try to tell your story in a different way.
Yeah, we can do
Anyway,
that.
enough about my opinions on screenplays. I have no experience in
Yeah, no
writing.
more, no more pretension. Let's go to production.
No more pretentiousness. What am I going to do? I guess I'll switch over to douchebaggery.
It's
Trust me, I'm full of something.
all
All right,
good. Just
it's
kidding.
usually
Go for
bullshit.
it.
All right, so we got it out of the way. It's based on a book. So he also wrote another book called A Simple Plan, and that was adapted into a movie by none other than Sam Raimi. Pretty cool.
I have never heard of that one. That's interesting.
Yeah, from what I hear, it's more like a crime thriller than a horror book or a movie, so a little bit different from The Ruins.
That is also a very weird thing to hear that Sam Raimi worked on.
Yeah, that guy's all over the place.
Like, I know he's
He's.
done Spider-Man, but like, I associate him so much with horror comedy that that sounds like nothing Sam Raimi would do.
Oh, yeah. I'll see his name pop up randomly on tons of different stuff. It seems like he has his hand in a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. Feel free to tell me I'm full of shit.
Well, I mean, he's also, I mean, he's done, obviously the Evil Dead films, Darkman, which I've never seen. But then he did Spider-Man. And then also, I revisited something else of his because I saw Wicked over the holidays. And I was like, oh, there's another Oz film I haven't seen in a while, Oz the Great and Powerful with James Franco. And Sam Raimi directed that.
Now, is that more in the vein of Return to Oz, or is it more like The Wizard of Oz?
More like The Wizard of Oz, but it's like a retelling of the story because it's a prequel to the original Wizard of Oz, but it's from the perspective of the wizard.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well,
And
here's.
then he didn't direct anything again until Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness 9 years later.
Strange. I was thinking of Doctor Sleep. I'm like, wait, wasn't that Flanagan?
Yeah.
Doctor Strange. Is it, no, that's Doctor Who, the guy who jumps in the phone booth and flies all over the place. You want to talk about pretentious, talk to a Doctor Who fan. They're probably a Tool fan too.
I forgot how much you hate Tool.
I don't hate Tool. I just don't see what's with them. It's like, what's that one real proggy band that opened for Mayhem Fest before Monomarth? They have the thing with the whale. Everyone associates them with a big whale.
Mastodon?
Yes. Ugh. All
Anyway.
right. Production note number three. I mean, I could stay here all night talking about things I dislike. Number three, Ben Stiller's production company, which, by the way, he's the executive producer of The Ruins. Yes, that Ben Stiller. His production company bought the screen rights to this novel, The Ruins, whenever Scott Smith was only two-thirds of the way done writing it, based on an outline he gave them, or that they saw somehow.
He bought the screenplay or the book rights.
Ben Stiller bought the screen rights to the book. So he bought the
Okay, so
rights
the
to make it
book.
into a movie before it was even done, before it was even written.
Okay, so the book was already out there, and then when
No.
they were, the
No,
book was not out there.
the book was not out there. The outline was out there. That's what Ben Stiller's production company saw. Based
Oh,
on
weird.
that, yeah, before the book was even done being written, Ben Stiller's company offered him a deal for the movie rights to it, we'll call him.
Okay, that actually makes a lot of sense because this is a really fast turnaround from book to movie. The book was
2 years.
06 and then the movie was 08. So that explains a lot about why the movie came out so quickly.
Yeah, I mean they probably finished writing the screenplay and the book at the same time.
Well, unfortunately, I think the faith that they had in it didn't stand because this was a box office bomb.
That's my next production note. So this was surprisingly made with a $25 million budget, which stood out to me because this movie doesn't seem like a $25 million movie. It's very contained, shot on maybe one or two sets. You know, it's not like they have giant named actors in there. Like the people have all been in different movies that you would know, but nothing crazy. The effects, I mean, I know nothing about making special effects, but they didn't look too wild. So 25 million, that really stood out, especially for a horror movie, that it would get that much money. But anyway, like you were saying, it made 22 million at the box office. So it was basically 23, it was like 22.9. But still, it didn't even make up the money they spent on it. So that was not a good look.
Yeah, and it's got a okay critical consensus on it, but it's not like glowing reviews. And that is weird that they spent so much money on it, because usually you get a movie like this, it's probably like maybe 10 million.
What was Terrifier like 500,000?
Terrifier 2 was $250,000. Like,
That's what this movie seems like. Nothing seems grand about it, right? Am I wrong?
yeah, but Terrifier 2 almost films in more locations. So,
Oh, it definitely seems like it. They have like a
yeah.
store, an amusement park, somebody's house.
Like, look at, which I guess they could always build those, but look at the ruins. Like, when they are showing the resort, we only see like a side shot of a pool.
Could
When
be in
they
some
sh
guy's backyard. Hey, I got a
they
pool. Come on over.
they have two shot like two wide shots of an ocean, which upon rewatching the ocean almost looks CGI'd.
Could just be a stock video.
And then, like, maybe a couple characters go hang out on the beach for one scene, and then they're at the ruins for most of the movie. So,
Yeah, it struck me almost like Reservoir Dogs, where they're in that stockroom warehouse for 75, 80% of the movie, really like 90% of the movie. Anyway, it's very contained, one set piece. So to hear 25 million, I'm like, what did they spend this on?
CGI vines.
Were they CGI? I guess they were, yeah.
In some cases, they definitely were when they
Like
were
when they were
moving.
in the people.
Yeah, when they were, well, no, when it's just a shot, from what I saw, when it's just a still shot of them on somebody, it's not CGI. It looks like they did makeup. When the vines are moving, definitely CGI. But you hit on something with, do you have any more production notes before we move on into the specifics of the movie?
I didn't write this down, but I found it pretty cool that this was filmed in Australia and not Mexico, where it takes place.
Oh, that's really interesting.
We've been seeing a lot of movies that are filmed in Australia.
Yeah. I think as I've heard it's pretty cheap to film there. Like either they go
That.
there or they go somewhere in Canada.
Yeah, Canada's a big one too. Like Friday the 13th, Part 8. I
Yeah,
know
Van
in
Vancouver, I think, is a hot spot for filming.
Vancouver, York City. I know in You Better Watch Out, there was an Australian producer that asked them to come there to film it, and he gave them more of a budget to do so. So maybe that's part of the appeal. These producers from Australia add a little incentive. Hey, why not? Let's go to Australia.
Yeah. Well, on that note, we'll get into the specifics of the movie because we're talking about, how it was the bomb and is not a critically loved movie and, got some dated CGI in there. So why did Kevin pick this, you might be asking?
I am.
Well, to be honest, and you're gonna laugh at me for this because there's another movie that you mentioned earlier that does this that I don't like, that this one does that I do. The older I get, I have more appreciation for the contained thriller type thing. And the reason I say you're going to laugh at me is because I hate Reservoir Dogs.
Oh, yeah.
And
And somehow we're still friends.
yeah, but Reservoir Dogs doesn't have a story that interests me. That's the difference. This one, for whatever reason, the word I threw around for this movie was attrition. Like, it's like a, when you talk about like wartime movies like War of Attrition, and it's like wearing people down. This one does that, but it's not like in the torture porn way. It's like they have multiple fronts that they have to face at one time. So it's like physically and metaphorically, they're surrounded on all sides.
And even mentally, the vines mess with your head as well. No, I
So
like that. That definitely makes a lot of sense.
yeah, and I think there's a lot of, if you're not scared of one thing in the movie, there's something else in the darkness that's gonna be creepy to you, I think. Because like, case in point, this movie, I'm not scared of the vines, but I'm scared of the things that the vines do when they do like psychological warfare, when they're taunting the victims.
I think my scariest thing was just the fact they're in another country. They can't understand the language these people holding them hostage are speaking. They try to offer them money. They don't want that. Like, how terrifying would that be to be in any country with these dudes yelling at you, pointing guns at you? Like, I don't know what the fuck to do.
Yeah, or look at when not Dimitri, Matthias falls down the shaft on the ruins and breaks his back.
That's a bad situation that I would not want to be in.
Yeah. So I think that's a good segue into walking through the movie. So we've got an opening kill to start us off. Again, this is a creepy moment with an unnamed woman who is clearly in the ruins somewhere. And she is just trapped alone in the darkness, screaming for help before she gets ripped away.
Yeah, it was a good setup. It makes you wonder what's in there.
Yeah, it's the claustrophobia there. She doesn't even have a torch or matches or anything. She is just alone in the dark, screaming for help. That's like my worst nightmare.
Shit out of luck and jolly well fucked.
Yep. But this movie has great pacing too, I think. Like, it's not even 20 minutes in and they're already like on their way to the ruins, but we meet them at the resort. Also, I think these characters do some terrible things, but I think most of them I root for.
Oh, really? Not me. I was the complete opposite. I'm like, I don't like any of these people. They're each a scumbag in their own way, which I guess self-projecting.
Well, let's go through the characters. We've got Eric, who is dating Stacy. Then we've got Amy, who's dating Jeff. And then we've got Matthias, who is a
A
fellow
hunky German.
traveler. Matthias is probably my favorite character.
I kind of liked Eric. He's just kind of there, just a chill dude in a bad situation.
Yeah, I mean, well, early on when Amy is drunk on the beach and is about to try to kiss Matthias is there like, yeah, so Jeff is a pretty good guy, huh?
Yeah, Amy's a lying cheater. Get her out of here.
I did laugh when
But Jeff's
Eric.
such a fucking simp, I can't blame her, because that guy's like no backbone with this girl.
Well, who do you find contemptible then? I know, I'm assuming
Both of
Amy's.
them.
Who? Amy?
Amy and Jeff, and then Matthias is there making out with this dude's girl, so he's on my shit list.
Well,
Eric and Stacy
he's not
aren't.
making out with her. She's kissing him on the side of the cheek.
Yeah, from what I saw, he wasn't doing too much to push her off. Eric and Stacy, they're not bad. Stacy kind of seems like, yeah, I don't know. I don't think I could stand being around her too
I think
long.
you like Eric and Stacy because they wager oral sex on if their friend's going to cheat or not.
That was funny. I've never had to wager that. That just kind of happens. Eric is probably my favorite of the bunch. He seems like he just, like I said, he seems like a decent dude that's trapped with some shit. A
Does
lot of
that
annoying people around him.
actor that plays Eric, Sean Ashmore, ring any bells to you?
Was he the one that's in Frozen?
No. He's the close though. He's the Iceman in the original X-Men movies.
I watched a quick rundown and they were like r rapid firing all the movies these people have been in. And I do remember an Iceman reference.
Yep, there you
You
go.
said the original X-Men?
Yeah, the ones from the 2000s, X1 to X3, he shows back up in Days of Future Past.
I think I saw those.
Yeah, he's awesome. Sean Ashmore is great in those.
I always liked the cartoon. I had a couple VHSs of that. Oh, dude, so badass.
But so they're getting together with Matthias, who's looking for his brother, who's gone on archaeological dig at the ruins. So they're like, yeah, we'll go to the ruins. Guy we just met like 20 minutes ago.
You know, I did have that in my notes, how ridiculous that is, but I have met women and I've jumped into their car upon meeting them, so I can't talk too much shit on these people.
Well, I think they mention it in the movie, but we see Matthias is looking for his brother, Heinrich, and in the book, Heinrich went off with a girl who he believed was going to be the love of his life. He and Matthias got in a fight over that, and Heinrich just left with the girl to go to the ruins.
I mean, yeah, why not go to some ancient burial ground with some people? Why don't you?
Yeah,
What's the worst that could happen?
I do laugh in the book because it's pointed out that Heinrich doesn't know shit about archaeology, but he's just in love, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they go to the ruins
Gotta
and
shoot your
again,
shot somehow.
I know, right? And then yeah, so they go to the ruins again, not even like 15, 20 minutes in, they're already in a taxi cab in Mexico going to the ruins. There's a jump scare with the dog that got me good though, with the
That got
taxi.
you?
That got me. I wasn't expecting that.
A little scurvy.
Yeah, it's them knocking on a taxi window and the dog's in the back trunk and barks at them out of nowhere. That scared the hell out of me.
I like the driver. He's like, nah, you don't want to go to that place. It's bad. You don't want to go there. And the dude's like, we'll give you $100 and the taxi driver's, you know what? Fuck it.
Yeah.
Get in. It's not that bad.
Which he then is just like, fuck this, I'm out. And he leaves them in the woods.
I mean, he did his
Like,
job. He got him to the place they wanted to go.
I mean,
See ya.
Amy brings up a good point being like, how are we supposed to get back? And then Eric pretends that he has cell phone signal.
Oh yeah, that's when he does the "Can you hear me now" thing.
I was like, dude, you're an asshole.
Well, I mean, what'd they want? The taxi driver to wait there for them? Like, dude, this guy has a job to do. He's not gonna wait for you all day. Have some
Yeah.
respect.
But this is probably some of the creepiest stuff in the movie is them walking through the woods looking for the ruins. They're going off map and there's jeeps that are overgrown. There's an obscured path. There's natives who are standing off in the distance, not saying anything. And then they find the ruins and they get to the ruins and the Mayans that live there show up and again, kind of a creepy moment where this one Mayan guy is yelling something at them, but we don't know what he's saying.
Yeah, that was what I was saying about being in a different country and having no idea what these people want, what they're saying. They're armed. Like, what do you do in that situation? I'd probably just shit my pants and lay down.
Yeah, well, he looks like he's going to help them because Matthias holds up his phone and says, we're looking for this guy.
Yeah, but then fucking Amy has to step on a vine and set shit in motion.
Okay, so I really like that fake out though.
What was the fake out?
Because the movie starts, you don't know what is in the ruins, right? And if you're watching it for the first time and you don't know what's happening, Amy is there taking pictures. And that's what, when she takes a second picture after she's been told not to, is when the Mayans freak out. So you're not really paying attention to her standing on the vines.
You know, I got to be totally transparent. I thought it was the photos when I saw it. It was after I was doing research for the production that I found it was because she stepped on a vine. So I am a glory hound. Is that a good one?
Yeah, it's a
Liar.
clever,
Liar.
it's a clever trick there. I like that
It
actually.
is. Yeah, I did too because I'm like, she took a couple pictures. They didn't freak out. Why'd she freak out? Or did they freak out on this one? And it's
And
like,
then
eh.
And then they kill Dimitri, who's another person that's tagging along with him. He gets an arrow to the chest and a gunshot to the
Dude, they super kill Dimitri.
head.
That was shocking. I didn't expect it to go that brutal that fast.
Well, because it just happens out of nowhere. There's like a bunch of yelling, and then an arrow just comes out of nowhere.
And then his head literally gets like a quarter of the top blown off.
And again, something I'm going to praise, great practical effects there.
Oh, yeah.
And they give him another close up later on. There's like blood splattered all over the ground, but they chase him up the ruins and they're circling him, not going to let him leave the ruins now.
Yeah, and I didn't pick up that they were Mayans either because the Mayans just straight up disappeared. So it's cool to think that their descendants would be living down there by these giant structures they built.
Yeah,
Well,
and then
we think they built them. I mean, we thought the Egyptians built the pyramids, but they've been there for super long, so who knows? That's another thing. This movie got me thinking about ancient civilizations again.
Yeah, which is always one of my favorite things to study in history, so
Yeah, because like, why did they build this stuff? Was it to keep something in? Was it to keep something out? Was it to navigate some stuff? Like, who
yeah, and
knows?
this is a fun little fantastical take on that, I think.
They did it to keep the vines in.
And then so they get up onto the ruins and they hear what appears to be a cell phone ringing. They see a campsite up there where Heinrich was, and they find again another great practical effect set up when we see Heinrich's corpse covered in vines, and it's like super pale and bloody and coated in vines.
Was he on the roof, or was he in the temple?
He was on the top of the ruins. Heinrich was, or not Heinrich, Matthias was looking around and he saw feet when he was looking through stuff and he found Heinrich's body there and he freaks out because he realizes it's his brother.
Okay, and they have the girl in the they find the girl in the actual temple.
Yes.
Okay.
But they hear a cell phone ringing. So Matthias says, "Hey, I'll go get that." And there's no way in hell I'd ever use this fucking lift that they're using.
Right, just ratty ass wooden rope swing of a elevator. Get the fuck out. I'm not
It is
going down there.
literally you're sitting on a rope hoping it stays and it does not hold, and Matthias falls and breaks his back, and these sound effects are brutal.
Boy, that was another thing with this movie is the sound design. If this
Yeah.
part when he falls and initially hurts himself, and when they're trying to lift him up a little bit later on, and we hear his back cracking and snapping, and when they're trying to get him on the board. Oh man, brutal. Brutal stuff.
And it's around this time where I figured out that that I would call this an attrition horror movie because there's multiple fronts they have to face. There's the Mayans below. Matthias broke his back. The vines are starting to show themselves. Their own mental state is starting to deteriorate, and it's subtle, but they're also dealing with the elements. They have no water and they're really exposed to sunlight up where they are.
I was just going to say that the elements. And I mean, they're in a jungle, so I don't know if that's like a desert where it gets super cold at night. Probably not, because nothing can live in a desert because of that.
Yep, and they have one bottle of water to share amongst five people.
I would be out. I drink like three of these big ass metal water bottles every day.
It's the dialogue that Jeff says, because Jeff was going to go to, or Jeff is going to med school, so he's, providing them with survival tools and information, and he says, each of us needs to drink a whole bottle or two a day to survive. We have one.
Yeah, one dinky water bottle.
Yeah, so
There
it's
was a
again.
part, there was a point in here where I thought I was going to like Jeff, and I'll tell you where that is. That goes with why I think I found something deeper in this, but I didn't.
So then Stacy goes down the shaft as well, and the rope isn't long enough, so she has to fall. I don't know what got in her leg, but again, the practical effects where she's got a cut from something and it's wedged inside of her leg. Ugh.
Yeah, I think it was just like a rock or something down there.
Yeah, and she has to, it looked like a piece of glass, but I'm like, that wouldn't be glass there. So I think it was like a shard of rock or wall or something.
Mayan trash.
But they gotta do the I'm gonna do a close-up shot of her pulling it out of her leg.
Yeah, they really knew when to go in for those scenes to get the close up and get the sounds going.
So they keep, seeing, or they keep hearing sounds of like a phone, but first they're gonna try to get Matthias. out and they build a, I mean, they're resourceful. They build a like a platform. And oh, I cringe again when they when Amy comes down and they lift him up with a
I
broken
know.
back to put him on there.
Yeah, the backboard gurney thing.
And you hear his back crack again too. It's so
And he
ugh.
bends like, oh man, you know this dude's in a bad way.
And he's a
Oh.
good actor too. His screams are very believable.
Yeah. Oh, get this man a doctor. A real
Yeah,
one, not this guy on the roof.
those will come, his screams will come back into play later on in another scene. You mentioned that they find another corpse in the ruins because Amy and Stacy are looking for the phone, and you know, they got a torch and they're walking around. I don't know what it is, man, but the corpse wrapped up in the vines with like kind of hollow and then later glowing eyes is super unsettling to me.
I liked it. It was a cool take on the corpse. And especially when the eyes glow, you know something's up
Yeah.
there.
Well, because the corpse has its back to them first, and you're like, oh, it just looks like someone's sitting down in the ruins. And like, they haven't fully revealed that it's the vines that are doing this yet. So you're like, is there something or someone living in the ruins? It's a great setup. I love it.
Yeah, I thought up until that point, like I was saying before, it would be something like those mutants, monster things from The Descent that are crawling around down there.
But then it's revealed that the vines are making the phone sound with vibrations.
Yeah, and the flowers on them have, it looks like little mouths because they open and close like that.
Yeah, and again, I'm not scared of the vines when they start to attack. I am scared of when they pick up the corpse to use it like a puppet and it's got like glowing eyes that come out of the darkness out of nowhere. That's a great jump scare.
Yeah. I like Killer Plants.
Me too.
You ever play the original Resident Evil or the remake when you fight that big plant in the guardhouse?
I don't think I ever made it that far, man. That game was so infuriating.
That was one of my favorite bosses of that game because
I thought.
it was so something you didn't really see is giant ass plants smacking you with a leaf. Like,
I
what the
thought for
fuck?
sure you were going to say, I love Killer Plant movies or Killer Plants. Have you ever played Plants versus Zombies?
Oh, come on. Dude, I do love Killer Plant movies. One of my favorite one my favorite franchise is Trees and Trees 2.
Never
Those
heard of
movies
that.
rule. Oh my God. They're like one of those Z-level horror movies, but for what they are, oh my God. Oh,
So
chef's
that's a
kiss.
no from you on The Happening.
No, I love The Happening.
It's so dumb.
That's what people say. I enjoyed it.
No, I enjoy it too, but it's so stupid.
I mean, I saw it when I was like 13 or 14, so some of those scenes were crazy to me, like the dude jumping off the roof and the guy getting run
Yeah.
over by a lawnmower.
It's got a
This is
great
ridiculous.
trailer. It's got a great trailer to it because they really tell you nothing about what's going on.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of people killing themselves.
Yeah, it's just weird, like dark humor to it, like where Mark Wahlberg is talking to a plastic plant in a model home.
I'll watch anything with Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
Even more if he's talking to a killer plant that might not be a
We're
real one.
just here to use the bathroom, and then we're just gonna leave. I hope that's okay. There's also another great line in there from the crazy old lady, where Mark Wahlberg finds her home and they're gonna stay with her for a bit, and he's just sitting there staring, and she goes, "Why you eyeing my lemon drink?" But anyway, that's another episode. I'm sure we'll cover The Happening at some point. But and then I mentioned that Matthias's screams come back later on because the leg cutting scene.
Ooh, this is something, isn't it?
Yeah, this is brutal that they are going to. Hold on, Roy. I might have to switch back to my regular Wi-Fi because my hotspot is used up.
Uh-oh.
Okay, we're back now. All right.
Yeah, you just cut out for a second. I got you. It's
Yeah.
probably just connecting.
Yeah, that was the switchover. Okay, we're back now. But yes, the leg cutting scene with Matthias is again so brutal. And you know, the process is that the vines have started to show themselves. Stacy has had one in her leg, which again is also kind of gnarly and brutal. Again, great practical effects when the vines are first showing up. And then they're flesh-eating vines, so they've completely eaten away the skin from Matthias's legs.
Looks so crazy.
Doesn't it? And it's such a quick shot too, but it's enough to get the job done.
That's what makes it so effective. If it lingered on the stuff, like when they break his leg and cut it off, it'd be like, oh, that's a prop. But like the quick jump shots, man, it just adds so much to
But yeah, Jeff says that Matthias is gonna die from infection. So he's like, here, let's use a rock to break his bones, and then we'll use a hunting knife to cut through, and then we'll cauterize it with a heated pan.
And he won't feel a thing.
Yeah, we'll give him tequila.
They should have just given it to him until he blacked the fuck out and then started chopping him
Actually, I
up.
don't know if this is true, but I did see something on YouTube. I was rewatching that scene before I watched the movie. This was when I was like deciding I was going to pick the movie. Someone said in the comments, like, fuck that, man. Why doesn't he just drink the whole damn bottle so he
Yeah.
really doesn't feel anything? And then someone underneath said that that's a bad idea because alcohol makes your blood thin, so he
Oh,
would
that's
like
true too.
bleed out even faster.
Yes, very good point. Don't listen to my medical advice on alcohol and surgery.
Yeah, doctors we are not. But yeah, no, so they cut his legs off. They think they've solved the problem. And the vines come out for a split second. This is definitely CGI, but when the vines come out and they drag Matthias's severed feet away.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so this is the part I found. I thought I found something deeper to this story. So I thought Jeff, the doctor guy, right? I thought that he had seen his girl making out with Matthias, and that's why he sent Matthias down first. That's why he made sure the rope wasn't stable. That's why he was sending the girls down, not to get his hands dirty. He wanted to kind of sacrifice them a little bit too. And then to get more revenge, he was going to hack up Matthias. Like, this sounds kind of fucked up, but I really respected the guy for this level of getting people back.
Well, we don't go that deep into personal relationships, but they is another, I mean, they have to face off against each other too, because
Mean, did you get that feeling like this guy that he saw this stuff, now he's getting his revenge? Like, that's where my mind went in this.
no, I never got that. To be honest, Jeff was the one who seemed like the most level-headed to me for most of the movie.
He was, but it could all be a ploy. Like, how many times do we see serial killers that are all super chill and smart, and the next thing you know, oh, this guy's got a dozen bodies in his basement.
Listen, maybe it's me being a goody two shoes, but I feel like in the situation they're in, the last thing on Jeff's mind should be revenge for his girl making out with somebody else. Like,
Are you calling me petty?
you can break up after you survive the killer vines.
And maybe take the guy out too.
No,
And
don't take
maybe
the
send
guy
the
out.
girl
Like,
down to the ruins.
wish them well and then break up and go to your thing. Go to med school.
Don't smash a guy's legs and feed him to the vines.
Yeah, they did. There was a really subtle plot point early on where they say that Amy was freaking out because Jeff's med school is like super far away.
Oh, yeah.
So, but I said CGI or not, the way the vines suffocate Matthias later by going down his throat is also fucked up.
Yeah, that's boy, I wouldn't want that. I'd puke.
Now, did you? Yeah, right. Now, did you start to turn on Stacy too when she starts to think that Eric and Amy are having sex outside the tent, but it's like the vines? Or no, it's not the vines. It's he. Okay, I want to ask you this because there are noises of Amy crying,
Yes.
but it's already been established that the vines can mimic the sounds. They make the cell phone noise. They are mocking Stacy for crying when she wants to cut later. So when we cut to Stacy hears something in the tent when Eric is comforting Amy. Did you feel like the vines were like twisting the sound so it sounded like they were cheating, or do you think that she was just losing her mind a little bit?
So I actually had to rewind that because she comes out of the tent like, how dare you guys fuck when I'm right inside the tent? I'm like, wait, they weren't fucking. So I rewound it and I'm like, no, he was just like had his arm around her while she was crying. So I think that she probably heard the crying sounds. I would go with the vines, either where they're at now or the vines that kind of got into her head, are manipulating that sound into making it sound like getting it on.
Gotcha. Yeah, so then Matthias dies, and then right around here is where Stacy starts to lose it a little bit. She is
A little
fearing
bit.
she's fearing that vines are starting to get inside her because she had one in her leg earlier. And the vines literally mimic her by like replicating her voice and her cries. It's so psychological.
Yeah, what she say, you don't understand it or something like that, and the vines are just echoing it back nonstop. Like, it was good.
Yeah, well, then Stacy starts to become obsessed with cutting herself, thinking that vines are inside of her.
Yeah, this was rough.
Well, before that, Jeff, they see that vines have gone like up into her side. So Jeff has a scene where he has to cut into her leg and rip around in there to get vines out, and then he has to cut into her back.
Which that
It's
wasn't much better than her cutting herself.
no, D again, though, man, those effects are so like disgusting and like stomach churning.
Especially how he's like rooting around inside her leg trying to grab the vine. Like, oh my God, get out of there.
It was the cutting the back open with that really long vine that got me during that scene.
Oh yeah, because he just keeps pulling it out and pulling it out. Like, I thought he was gonna fuck up and like rip a vein out, and that would be the end
Ugh.
of her. I got the
Yeah.
root. Oops, maybe not.
Yeah, no, but she becomes obsessed with cutting and they won't let her anymore. And then they reveal that she's been saying the vines are in my head, the vines are in my head, and they're like, no, you're fine. But there's a quick shot of a vine moving around in her head.
Oh yeah. So like, I guess it just grew up there because it started in her leg.
Well, it got into her when she was sleeping. So, it's been there for a while.
God damn.
And then they have to play it off like nothing's there because they're trying to keep her calm.
There's no plant inside your brain. You're gonna be okay.
Well, they do. Eric did point something out early on too, where he says it's on our clothes, and there's like a
Yeah.
close up of
Like
Stacy's
mold.
clothes, yeah, with like spores on it. So I wondered how that works. Like, do the vines still have to get inside of you that like by just moving through, or do the spores like grow it inside your skin?
That is an excellent question that may be answered in the book.
Yeah, maybe.
It
Again,
would
I'll.
make it, maybe it accelerates it if you have an open wound and they can just directly crawl into your body. But they may have a secondary thing too, where they can just get on you and start growing their
Well,
stuff
no,
vines.
not to replicate Horror Movie Nights episode, but one co-host did spoil something from the book. So there's a hand job scene in the movie.
Is there?
Did you catch that?
A hand job scene.
When Amy and Stacy are sleeping in the tent, and then Eric comes in and lays down next to her, and she says "shh," and she's kind of leaning on him and moving her hand. She is giving him a hand job.
When was this?
When they're laying in the tent early on.
Oh, really?
I'm not even kidding. It's there. That's why Eric is kind of like moaning.
I may have been getting water or something during that part. Seems like something that would be memorable.
No, it's there. But apparently in the book that happens too. But the one co-host said that the vines are attracted by his semen in the book and they
Oh.
wrap around his dick.
Oh.
And then he
Yeah.
realizes that they're inside his legs.
Oh, dude, that's like that bacteria. I believe it's in the Amazon. If you go into a river there, these micro-celled organisms that are bacteria will crawl into your dick and infect you that way.
Yeah, it's traumatizing, dude.
Yeah.
But then we get the reveal that Stacy gets a hold of the knife anyway, and she has cut so badly, and this scene is ugh.
Dude, her thigh, it's so
It
deeply cut,
yes.
the skin is just like hanging there.
Yes, I wrote exactly that. It's her leg is hanging wide open and she's still cutting.
Oh my God. Yeah, and that's the thing. There's not a ton of gore and killing in this movie, but when it is there, it is done so effectively.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, man. Like the vines are there and they're not super scary, but it's the effects that the vines are having on them that is like the most terrifying psychological thing.
It's almost like they're turning in them. It's almost like the vines are turning the humans on themselves and each other. Like Stacy can't trust herself. They can't trust her. You know, Matthias, what's going on with him? You know, he's making it seem like they can't trust the doctor.
Well, I mean, look what happens. Stacy's so obsessed with cutting, she cuts Jeff's hand and then she fucking kills Eric.
Dude, that was one thing I had written down was it was such a sad scene when Stacy's just like cutting herself. That she cuts Jeff and she's just so into what she's doing. She's just like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, this girl's gone.
But then she goes back to cutting. Yeah, she's lost it. And
Yeah.
then she fatally stabs Eric in the chest when he tries to get the knife.
And that's what kind of snaps her out of it. But when she cuts Jeff and just goes back to cutting, it's like, this is gonna be it. Oh, no.
Well, did you guess that she was gonna get mercy killed by Jeff? Because
I thought,
that was also heartbreaking.
yeah, no, I thought she was gonna take the knife and like jab it into her jugular. Like
No, it's
last ditch sacrifice.
no, it's almost even more heartbreaking that Jeff has to do it.
Yeah.
Because she's there saying, "Kill me, kill me, kill me."
Oh yeah, and then
Like
the screams stop.
it's so brutal. And the Mayans are not even flinching. They're just they're like, "Yep, this is normal."
Just another day in the mine village.
Which they also proved how heartless they are because they Amy threw a vine at a little
Oh
boy that was
yeah.
down there and they shot him on sight because he wouldn't go up to the ruins.
Well, I mean, do you want to spread these vines or do you want to get them quarantined? Like, get hit with a plant, go to the roof.
Well, it's gonna happen anyway. Spoiler alert for the ending, so
I'm gonna start a score. That's the rule. If you touch a plant, you have to stay on the roof forever.
So then Jeff and Amy are the last two, and Jeff is going to cover Amy in blood and say, just run. And she's gonna fake like she's dead, and he's gonna draw the Mayans' attention away so she can run when they're distracted. So Jeff takes the fall.
He was a simp till the end.
And he gets shot by arrows, and then I think the head Mayan like shoots him in the head.
The head mine shoots him in the head. Sounds like a good country song.
So then Amy runs through the woods, gets to the what is she driving? Is that one of their jeeps?
It was a Jeep. I don't know if it was, I think it was probably the brother's Jeep that she had the keys to, because remember they found the keys at one point.
Okay, that makes sense because I was thinking about that just now. I'm like, wait, the taxi wasn't still there. What is she driving in?
Yeah, remember pretty early on, they find the keys to the brother's Jeep or the girl's Jeep, whoever it was in the tent they were in. So they have this key the whole time, but they can't. That's the kind of the shit kicker of it, is they have this key to the Jeep, but they have about 60 Mayans blocking their way.
Yeah, so she gets away though, and oops, she's got vines in her head too.
Was that in this cut? Did you watch this on Paramount Plus?
No, I watched this on the Blu-ray, which is like the unrated version that I have.
So we saw two different endings,
Okay,
man.
so what did you see? Because I know there is an alternate ending.
I actually watched the one you saw. So in the one on Paramount that I watched, she gets away scot-free in the Jeep. There's a close-up of her face, no veins, and she keeps driving. Fades to black. It's the next day. The Greeks, they come walking through the woods. There's two of them to find Matthias and their friend. But that's pretty much how it ends. They're just walking through the woods. They find the temple, the ruins, and they're like, "Hey, this is where our friends are." And then it just credits.
So do they see Matthias or are they just looking at the ruins? Because that's in my cut too.
Just looking at the ruins.
Yeah, so it cuts to Amy in my cut. It's a real quick flash of a vine moving through her head. And then the Greeks show up at the ruins and then it cuts to black.
Is the
Apparently,
funeral in that one?
no, see that I didn't know about this one.
That's a deleted scene. I saw that. That's good.
Okay, so that I didn't know if that was released as an ending or not, but yeah, there's like a deleted scene where I guess it's the parent of Amy or something.
I don't know. Her headstone just says Amy, no last name.
Okay, so I assumed it was Amy's father. Yeah, that is funny. I did see that. But there's plants on her gravestone that are making noise and moving around.
Well, he's whistling that song and he hears the whistling back, and then he goes to Amy's grave and the vines are there with their flowers. Doo doo doo.
So, of those endings, which one do you prefer?
Like the funeral one. It's a nice conclusive ending, but still leaves a little air of mystery, like, oh, now this shit's gone out. I don't like the one I saw, a little too happy for me. She gets away, yay, all's good.
That's why I like the unrated version where Amy is infected. So it's going to get out anyway, but she's not dead.
Yeah, I don't mind that one either. The one I saw though, yeah.
Yeah, I kind of like how ominous it is that she's going to go to the village and bring the vines with her.
You know what else this movie reminded me of? It was one I did with Marcus and Luke on Review to Death. Deep House. You ever see that one?
No.
Kind of a similar feel. It's pretty new too. It came out in 2021, but this guy and his girl, I think they're English, they go to this one European town, and anyway, they go scuba diving for their YouTube page, and there turns out to be a haunted house down there. But look, there's a whole thing, like they're not from this country, they don't really get what the tour guide is telling them, and not realizing the danger of this place. So gave me flashbacks to that a little bit.
But yeah, that's the ruins. And my last note just says, I think this movie is way underrated and underappreciated. I think it could be written off as a typical late 2000s horror movie, but I think it has a lot more going for it than a lot of the others from that era.
I'll tell you, yeah, I did think it was pretty average, pretty mid, as the kids say, coming into this discussion. But after talking through it with you and seeing more of it's really these characters fighting for survival more than it is against these vines and fighting against themselves and each other, has that Lord of the Flies aspect to it too. So I
Yeah,
bumped this one up.
I feel like if it was strictly Killer Vines, I would hate this movie.
No, you're right. It does have that almost psychological aspect to it as well. So after discussing it more thoroughly and hearing your opinion of it, I'd probably go 6-7.
Yeah, and again, I like first time I watched it, I liked it well enough, but subsequent viewings have made it like kind of rise up a little bit.
And like we were talking about, I think the violence used sparingly, but when you do see it, blows you away is so much more effective than just a gore fest the entire time. At least if you're trying to tell a really good story, because you can have a gore fest of a movie and it can be fun, but it wears off after a couple minutes. But seeing it just, 2 to 3 seconds, it'll pop. This guy gets his leg crushed. Oh, 5 seconds, this girl's all cut up. It's comes out of nowhere. You're not expecting it, and it makes those stick with you a whole hell of a lot more than just straightforward torture porn slasher flick.
So would you watch this one again?
Yeah, I'd revisit it for sure.
Yeah, you can wait a few years and then revisit it. I remember I did a really weird double feature with this one. First time I watched it, I watched The Ruins alongside Get Out.
Yeah, I mean, it's not super weird.
I was trying to watch horror movies for October. I tried a challenge that I don't think I'll ever complete, which is to watch a horror movie a day for October.
I see people do that.
Dude, I can't do it. Like, especially not now. I'm even more busy these days in October.
I see people do that and read like 100 books a year. How? How do you do either of those?
I wouldn't get to 100, but the book reading makes more sense. But for 31 straight days of watching a movie a day, I can't do it.
You know me, Kevin, I haven't even seen 31 horror movies.
At least not 31 classic horror movies, but
Not the good ones. I have seen 31 horror movies, but maybe one of them were good.
you just watched Hellraiser Inferno 31 times.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, that's The Ruins. So good discussion, man. What you got for us on the horror news front?
Horror news around the world. All right. So, Friday the 13th. You can't play that game anymore. Did you ever hear that one?
No, but I just played that the other day on my Switch.
So, this is the online one where it would be somebody as Jason. And the other players are the camp counselors, and you're trying to work together to beat the guy who's Jason. If you're Jason, you're trying to outsmart the other seven people, hack them apart.
Yeah, I have that on my Switch. I just played that right around New Year's.
Well, that's going to be the last time you play
I had heard that they were going to shut that one down earlier, but I thought it was already gone, but then I was surprised that I was like, oh, it's still here.
Wow, so you actually played that one.
Oh yeah, I played that quite a bit. It's a very
Nice.
repetitive game, but it's really fun if you're a Friday the 13th fan.
That's cool. I didn't realize you had played that. It's well, it was due to a licensing agreement with the franchise creator, Victor Miller.
Dude, poor Friday the 13th. It is always just stuck in copyright limbo and
That's what
like
it seems like.
licensing problems. Like, that's why we
Yeah.
don't have another movie yet.
And when was the remake or reboot? Like 2010, 2009?
2009, so
We're coming
16
up on
years
20
ago.
years. I feel like that's one you could do a lot with.
Yeah, longest we've gone without a Jason movie, I think, at this point.
Well, I mean, think about it was a very cut and dry slasher movie, guy with a hockey mask in the 80s. Think about how much there is to explore with that, like we've seen with the different Halloween movies. Like, really missed opportunity. And you have the name, people are going to go see it for the name alone.
Yeah, and that, I mean, that last Friday the 13th movie was a box office hit too. It was critically panned, but it was yeah,
Weren't
I know, but it was a success, man. I think it made like 10 times its budget, so I don't know what they're doing.
Well, I think you hit it on the head. All those logistics as far as getting the rights and this and that, like, it's
Well,
probably a nightmare.
supposedly we're supposed to get that Camp Crystal Lake series. I don't know when that's coming out, but
You are correct with that. Is this supposed to be out this year?
I don't know. I don't even think it has a release date. I'm waiting for that one, and I'm also waiting for Welcome to Dareve.
Oh yeah. Welcome to, well, I mean, they tried the Friday the 13th series a long time ago, but it had nothing to do with Jason. It
Yeah, it
was
was
pretty
like
much,
superstition on Friday the 13th type thing.
yeah. Again, don't sell your shit as Friday the 13th, the movie franchise, if you're gonna do that. There's a way to do it, and that's not it.
I do want to throw some cred to that Friday the 13th remake though, because it's, I mean, we give, Halloween 2018 a lot of praise for the we're making a sequel that ignores the other ones. And granted, that one does it the best for sure. So of course I want to throw universal praise towards Halloween 2018, but Friday the 13th 2009 got there first.
About 10 years first, you're right.
Yeah, it's a reboot, but it's a direct sequel to the original too, because Jason saw his mom die.
Oh, dude, I saw that once and I never saw it again. I need to revisit it.
Yeah, it's fallen from grace a little bit for me. I loved it when it first came out, but not so much these days. But it is really good. I just had a random line from that movie pop up in my head that always just lives rent free in my head because it's so absurd. But one of the people in the cabin is so like wasted on something, and he goes to grab something from a shed, and he leans back to one of his friends and he goes, "They don't call me the Wood Wizard because I masturbate a lot."
I do like that nickname, though.
Yep.
All right, ready for number two.
Yes, and RIP to Friday the 13th, the game.
Yes. You know, I never played that one, but I did play the Texas Chainsaw game they came out with.
Oh, dude, there's been so many. And all of those are spawned from Dead by Daylight.
Yep. The Texas Chainsaw one, it was fun, but I don't know. I'm not a big online gaming guy at all. I never
Yeah, I'm
do
not
it.
either.
Yeah,
Dead
so
by
I.
of those types of games, Dead by Daylight is the best one.
Yeah, I would think so. You always see the different properties going to that game. Jason, Freddy.
They did it with Evil Dead as well.
Nice.
So, but
This
yeah.
Dead by Daylight does seem like a fun game.
Oh, it's so fun, dude.
Man, I'll have to
And
check that
they've
out.
incorporated like all those classic horror characters as DLC, so you can just play Dead by Daylight and play those characters.
That's so fun.
So.
All right, next up we got Nosferatu, a movie we talked about last week that you saw. So, want to hear how that's doing?
Sure. I'm actually curious because I'm not hearing as much about it anymore.
Well, it's still doing pretty well. It has a 7.7 out of 10 on IMDb, 85% on Rotten Tomatoes. So, people seem to be enjoying it. I'll hit you with some things that stuck out on Google real quick. Right
Okay.
now on Google, it has a 3.0 out of 5 with about 4,000 reviews. And some of the biggest things people were saying, the pros, it has stunning visuals
Yep.
and excellent cast performances.
Yep.
The cons were just kind of fucking mean. They weren't very constructive.
I'm sure.
The cons were a waste of time and boring, slow-paced, under-engaging characters. Like, there wasn't really any kind of
Well, I mean,
reason why.
yes, it's a slow burn, as all of Robert Eggers' films are. Boring? No. What was the other one? Lack of character
Yes.
engagement or something?
So while what stood out in the pros was excellent cast performances, what stood out in the cons was under-engaging characters. So some people seem to be at odds with this one.
I disagree with that too. I think all the characters are engaging. I think my problem with it is just that it's got some pacing problems. Like, I think there's easily some stuff that could have been cut. I don't know if you cut the characters out as a whole for the scenes I'm talking about, or if you just trim them down. I don't know. There's like 45 minutes added to the original runtime from the 20s, so I just think yeah, the visuals are great. It's just the writing for the plot pacing is a little iffy for me.
Gotcha. Well, it seems to be crushing at the box office, or at least m being a success. It was made for 50 million, and it's made more than 100 million. So,
And
as far as Hollywood's concerned, that's a success.
that's fantastic, man. Regardless of what I think about it, I don't hate it. I just am not a big fan of it. But either way, man, I'm just stoked when a horror movie's getting praise. So, like, the fact that this movie's making it to best of 2024 lists and is like a commercial success for how artsy it is. And the fact that it's an older property too. I don't think like the Universal Monster era creatures and characters get the love that they deserve anymore. So, if Robert Eggers and Nosferatu from Bill Skarsgård can resurrect that, then I'm all for it.
When you talk about that, I mean, the characters from the 80s don't even really get much love anymore. Yeah, I mean, Michael Myers is the only one really still consistently going.
And he's barely an 80s character because he came from the decade before, even though it was like late into the game.
Yeah, but he gets lumped in there. You know what I'm talking
Oh, he
about.
does, yeah. But the Halloween movies are always more
For
paced like
sure.
the.
The
Most of the
70s.
Halloween movies are paced more like the 70s than the 80s to me.
If there was a, I know we're coming up on Wolfman. If there was a universal monster that you would want to see, like a get the treatment that Nosferatu did, or even just an older horror movie from that time period, is there one you have in mind?
Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Nice.
Would love to see a modernized artsy take on that one.
Didn't Guillermo del Toro do that in some movie where that girl's having sex with a fish monster in a tub?
Kind of, but
Kind of went his own way on
he did The Shape of Water, yes, but I wouldn't count that as a creature movie. That felt more like a Hellboy movie than a creature movie.
Well, that does it for horror news. This is kind of off to a slow start this year. I didn't
Well, I mean,
really.
it'll amp up as we're only 6 days in as we're recording this, so it'll amp up. You did mention the Wolfman. That's something we can talk about. That's coming out right around the corner. I'm super excited for that one. You gonna go see it?
When does it come out?
That's a very good question.
Because I was thinking about seeing Nosferatu, and then I know you said it was kind of meh, so I was like, eh.
I mean, don't listen to me on that. Like, go.
Yeah, but now it's 2 minutes. It's like 2 hours and 15 minutes. It's just like, ugh, it takes like an hour to get ready. That's gonna be 3 hours there. Like an hour to get back. It's only like 4 hour process.
So Wolfman comes out on January 17th, and it is
Oh.
directed by Lee Whannell of the Insidious franchise. He did a lot of writing for that, and
Ooh.
he directed Insidious Chapter 3. He also did the Invisible Man reboot, which I
Heard
heard is
that's
really
good.
good. I heard that's good too, but I haven't seen it. Random, it's produced by Jason Blum because it's a Blumhouse movie, of course, but produced by Ryan Gosling.
No way.
He's not in it, so okay.
Yeah.
But I saw the trailer for that before Nosferatu, and I'm very excited for that. So,
All right. Yeah, maybe I will make an appointment. Oh, dude, Werewolves, it's gonna be streaming here soon, I think in February.
oh hell yes, dude.
I will definitely check that out when it comes to services.
Yes. So it says Wolfman. The film was announced in 2014 and was part of a shared cinematic universe centered on the Universal Monsters. After the failure of The Mummy from 2017, Universal shifted its focus to standalone films. The success of Whannell's The Invisible Man rekindled Universal's interest in the Monsters franchise. They accepted a pitch by Gosling, who was also set to star for a new Wolfman film with a different director. However, Gosling dropped out of the role and the director left the project in 2023 while Whannell took over, and filming took place in early 2024. So I wonder if Ryan Gosling is actively a producer, or if he's just credited as a producer because he was at one point involved in it.
Well, it said he pitched it.
Yeah, he came with the treatment.
Because I know producers in Hollywood are a little bit different than producers on a, local TV news level like I was. So, I mean, in Hollywood, if you just throw money at something, you're technically considered a producer.
Well, I was
But
going to
it's.
say, sometimes you got something like Tim Burton with Batman Forever, where he was a producer, and basically his involvement was, no, I'm not going to make it. Yeah, go ahead and get Joel Schumacher.
Yeah, I mean it does, but it sounds like Gosling was pretty involved and believed in it if he was one out there pitching this thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be curious to know what his involvement is now, if he's still involved with it or not. But either way, man, I'm super jazzed for it. It looks like a reboot that's a new idea, because it's almost more like a Siege movie with a werewolf. So,
Well,
yeah.
that's what I've heard about Invisible Man. I'm sure you have too. It's more like a, how do people describe it? Like a psychological serial killer movie than some dude that's invisible.
Yeah, I mean, they modernized it for sure. You know who plays the Invisible Man is Oliver Jackson Cohen, which is Luke from Haunting of Hill House, the show.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. I mean, he must not have much screen time. Horrible joke. Jeez, wow.
No, I've heard it's good. I just haven't seen it.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Let me look if there's anywhere that's on. We could always talk about that.
It's probably on Max somewhere. We could do that as a lead-in to Wolfman.
Ooh, I like where your head's at with this. Was The Invisible Man 2007?
2020.
Oh, that was called The Invisible. Maybe if I type in man.
It's on
It's
Prime, it
on
looks like.
Prime. Oh, it's on Freevee. I don't know what that is, but I'm down.
And so the 17th. So we could, excuse me. We could do that as an episode next week. We could release it on the 19th as a build-in to Wolfman.
Cool. I think we have our movie for next week. Look at that magic.
Sorry to take your pick spot away, but maybe that helps.
I'm extremely butthurt. Put a
That's
vine up there.
not because of the picks, bro.
Oh. That's why I always keep Preparation H handy.
Cool, man. So plug time.
Oh my god, did I mention I'm a horror author?
Once or twice.
Okay. Just want to make sure everyone knows about me. This is a look at me thing. You can find me over on Instagram at author_Honeybrook. There you can find all the ridiculousness I post, as well as a link to my Amazon page. There you can find all of my stories on Amazon. There are five of them, and they're all just 99 cents. So you can get the whole kit and caboodle. I don't know why I'm using that stupid term for $5. That is over on Amazon. Just search my name, R. Jacob Honeybrook, if you don't want to use the link in my Instagram for some ungodly reason. Also, I have a weekly article over on TBM Horror. It is called R. Jacob's Honeycuts. There I write about just different things, whether it's horror movies that we discuss here, different aspects of writing, or maybe even something else. You'll have to tune in over there on TBM Horror, R. Jacob's Honeycuts. Those are my plugs. How'd I do? That sounded very professional.
There you go. You got him
I
fooled.
don't know if you could see me on camera, but I kind of put that one on autopilot.
Oh, beautiful. And then for me, if you want to get in touch with the Midnight Terrors podcast, you can find us on Facebook under Midnight Terrors Podcast. You can shoot us an email at midnightterrorspodcast@gmail.com. You can check out our link tree on the Linktree website, Midnight Terrors Podcast on there. That's linked to all our socials as well as our T Public store. And you can check out our Facebook group under Midnight Terrors Podcast and come talk horror with us and all of our friends and family on there. It's a great time. And real quick plug as well. Last year, our podcast was lucky enough to win Best Local Podcast in the city of Charleston, South Carolina for the city paper. We are running once again for Best Local Podcast, and voting nominations are open now. They're open now from January 3rd was the first day. They are open through January 24th. This is the first round to get us nominated. So I will link that in the description of the episode. If you like our show and you want to support us, that's a great way to help us spread the word. Even like it's not about winning, it is just about spreading our podcast and our community. So we would love to have your support and vote if you are so inclined. So take a look in the description for that. And again, you have until the end of January 24th to help nominate us. So thank you all so much for your support.
And if we win, I'll give everyone who voted for us a smooch and a Four Loko.
How you doing?
Hey, get right over
All
here.
right. Well, that's it for the Midnight Terrorist podcast. We love y'all. Stay tuned. Sounds like we're doing the Invisible Man episode next week. So
Oh, yeah.
stay tuned for that. And thank you for all your support. Happy New Year. We love you. Peace.